You know, I've mentioned the last couple of Sundays and everything, you know, that, you know, there was a bunch of folks, there's a lot of stuff going around. Like I said, I had some fellas get in touch with me, you know. They were convinced that, you know, the Feast of Trumpets, which was about 2 days ago, September 23rd, you know, Lord's coming back, things are kicking in. You know, I had a long talk with them. You know, I told them, I said, guys, I said, if the Lord can come back at any time, but what you're basing it on out of the book of Revelation, I said, that those verses aren't speaking of. But I mean, this thing was big as far as a lot of folks all over the world, really. And it's just one, brother, listen, the Bible says, Jesus told the disciples, it is not given for you, to you to know the times and the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. That's what he told disciples. All right. Then he said, ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. Listen, live every day as if the Lord would come back, or you would die that day. Make every day count for Jesus Christ. But I'm telling you, I will tell you this, there is a turn that's going on. And last week we looked at some of this just a minute. There's a turn that's going on. And I'm just telling you, brethren, if the Lord Jesus tarries longer than we would hope that he would, he's coming back. He's coming back. But he's coming back on his time, all right, and in due time. But until he does, brethren, listen, I've said it and I'll say it again. There's going to be a need for some folks who are grounded and settled and sure in their faith and firm and steadfast. Because there's going, brethren, I'm telling you, people are doing like they always do. And they're looking for any kind of wild. Brethren, stick with the simplicity of what God set up. His word, the local church, and prayer. You understand? Pray. Stay in the scriptures. Stay with your local church. Bible. Listen, the church is the pillar and ground of the truth. That's what the Bible says. Listen, and so, brethren, you'll find out that a lot of these folks that come with this different stuff, you'll find they're going to books that are not part of the canon of Scripture. They're going to, there's always, but people always want something sensationalistic. They do. And yet the things they really need, what they really need, and what God has given to the local church, they pass that aside. And y'all, I'm telling you, there's going to be a need for some solid, grounded saints. Stay in that book. Stay around things of God. You can weather this thing and you can be a help to people in the right way. All right, 2 Kings chapter 25. 2 Kings chapter 25. And in 2 Kings 25, we're going to pick up at verse number 3. 2 Kings 25 and verse number 3. And on the ninth day of the fourth month, the famine prevailed in the city, and there was no bread for the people of the land. So notice what broke them. What broke them was famine. Famine. There's no bread. There's no bread to be had. Now, this famine was not because of weather or disease or insects. It was because of a siege. See, in your Bible sometimes there will be a famine. There'll be a famine of bread. Sometimes a famine comes because of weather. There's no rain. No crops. Sometimes it's because of insects. Insects will eat up the grain. There's no bread. Sometimes it'll be because of disease. There's all kinds of reasons. This was because of a siege. The enemy had besieged them, and they couldn't get no provision in, and nobody could get out, so there was a famine of bread. And so why couldn't they break the siege? Because they weren't right with God, and they wouldn't obey God. They couldn't break that siege. Y'all look here. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter your might or your power if you're not right with God. You can forget it. Listen, the Lord told the children of Israel one time, he told them, he said, look, he said, if everybody in the enemy's camp was wounded, I'd still let them rise up and burn this place. You can't. And the key is all righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. What exalts a nation? Righteousness. What was the problem here? They're not right with God. And they're not willing to get right. And the enemy's besieged them, and it's just a matter of time. Take your Bible, go to Amos chapter 8. Amos chapter 8. Amos chapter 8. Amos chapter 8, and look at verse 11. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land. Not a famine of bread, nor thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. And they shall wander from sea to sea, and from the north even to the east. They shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord, and shall not find it. Now, I want you to notice something. Notice that, brethren, it wasn't a famine of preaching, but a famine of hearing the words of the Lord. You see the difference? Brethren, there's plenty of preaching today. There's plenty of preaching. But how about hearing the word and words of the living God? Okay? See, everybody, we've got to the place where young men, listen, a man can be lost but learn to preach. He can learn the rudiments of how to do it. He can be lost, yet he can learn how to outline. He can learn how to do this. He can learn how to alliterate. And he can learn that stuff and do that stuff. And so he can preach. But how about hearing the words of the Lord? That's the key. That's what's needed. What a famine. This ain't a famine of preaching necessarily. It's a famine of hearing the words of the Lord. And you know what, brethren? I told y'all this before. I remember a young fellow years ago. And boy, he was the cat's meow. Guys were having him in here and having him in there, but he was talking to me. He would talk to me on the phone. That poor joker was in a mess. Oh, people were using him. They were having him preach. Ah, preachers loved him. He'd get all that. But you know what? His life was in a mess. That guy would go around to meetings and preach and then call me on the phone and say, Brother Doss, pray for me. I don't even know if I'm saved. But son, he could outline. He could alliterate. He could get the mannerisms, buddy, and he could do it. He's a mess. He's a mess. You can learn that stuff. What we need is something real and right with God. There was a famine of hearing the words of the Lord. And it happens, I'm afraid it happens again today very much. What do you do in such a famine? I'll tell you what you do. You go where you need to go. You get there. I was talking to somebody the other day on the phone. A guy I hadn't seen 30 years. And he's just, all this stuff you've been hearing and all like that, you know, some things were just on his mind and this and the other. And I told him, I said, Brother, I said, you need to get in a good church. He said, well, I can't find one around where I'm at. He's somewhere up near Tennessee. I said, then find one and get there. If you got to go to Fairbanks, Alaska, if you've got to go to Brisbane, Australia, if you got to go to Podunk, Florida, whatever you got to do, find the place you're supposed to be and get your rear end there. Get there. Lord, where am I supposed to be? And get there. And once you get there, I said, dive in head first. But brother, I'm telling you, what's going to happen is you hear me. You hear me good. This thing's going to get down to where the rubber meets the road. Yes, and what's going to happen is there's going to be folks, and they're looking for the word and words of God. And you know what? It's going to come down a lot of times to meaning I need to move, and they ain't going to move. Because job is first. That's the truth. That's where we're at today. And you know what happens? We're in a situation where it's like, well, man, I can find a church. No, son, you can find a job.
Right.
You can find a job. Job's job. Put food on the table, clothes on your back. You can find a job. What it's about is, Lord, where's the church you want me to have? I'm serious as I can be. And you know what? There are people out there today, they're hungry. They will not take the, you know what? And they're going to God and saying, God, I need, but you know what? They won't make the move. So they say, I'll just buy tapes or I'll go to the internet. That's not church. It's not church. Gossip Church, where you can be a help and get help. You can be a help, you can get help. That's what God set up. But there's folks that can't find it. So what to do? They're going to go to the internet. They're going to buy DVD or CDs. They're going to buy things, or they're going to take. And you know what? That's not what God set up. Well, I know I need to do something then. But people will move for a job. People will move because they're just frustrated. People will move because they're just kind of like, I want to change. I want to change the pace. I want to change. But when it comes to getting where they need to be around the things of God, they won't do it. You find that place and you get there. But let me tell you something. I didn't tell that guy, and he was a good friend of mine 30 years ago, right? I didn't tell him, man, get yourself to South Carolina. I didn't tell him that. I just said, find out where you're supposed to be. Well, I bet you dropped hints. No, I didn't. He once sought me out. I didn't go seek him out. I talked to him. I didn't try to convince him to come here. One thing I've learned, you do something God ain't in, you be a mess, something good turns ugly real quick. That's the truth. I said, but find out where you need to be and get there. I said, if you ain't got a good church to go around here, I said, you got to get there. But brethren, we're in a situation today, folks, like, oh, man, we'll find us a church. No, it ain't quite like that. Or they'll do one of these deals. Oh, honey, find us a church. Gentlemen, that's your task.
Amen. Yes, sir.
You tell your wife, find us a church, honey. No. You find it. All right, so Amos, what they do? They'd go sea to sea, they go here to there, trying to find the words of the Lord. All right. You do what you got to do, you go where you need to go. Go back to 2 Kings 25. 2 Kings 25. And look at verse number 4. 2 Kings 25, verse number 4. And the city was broken up. And all the men of war fled by night by the way of the gate between two walls, which is by the king's garden. Now the Chaldees were against the city round about. And the king went the way toward the plain. So the city got broken up. Well, how did it happen? How did the city get broken up? Well, the immediate answer is the walls were breached and they were cast down. That's how a city gets broken up. The walls were breached and then they were cast down. You make a hole in that wall. You pound it. And then you bring them walls down. And that's how you get in. Go to Proverbs 25. Proverbs 25. I know we know the principle, but we have to go over it again. Proverbs 25, look at verse 28. Proverbs 25, verse 28. He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. Now, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that if a city's walls come down, they have no defense against the enemy. Right? That's you don't take a rocket scientist to get that thing. If a city's walls come down, there's no defending against an enemy. The enemy just walks right in, takes it at his will. Well, what does the Bible say in here? The Bible says that you and me, if we don't rule our spirit, if you don't rule your spirit, if you don't control yourself and rule your spirit, you have no walls. You have no defense against the enemy. That's why it is imperative. It is so important you teach your children to control themselves. Listen. No emotion in itself is wrong. God gave you the ability to feel anger. Nothing wrong with anger as long as it's a righteous and right anger. God gave you the ability to feel joy. Nothing wrong with joy. God gave it to you. Nothing wrong. Listen, there's nothing wrong with grief and depression in the right place. Don't ever tell you that depression is a sin. That's normal. God gave you the ability for your spirits to be depressed because it's a normal reaction to certain things. You just don't let any of these emotions rule you. You understand? Listen, now what you tell me. Look, if you lose a relative, if you lose someone or something dear to you, do you think the right reaction is, glory to God, granny died. Are you out of your mind? That's twisted. Something's wrong, right? No, you're going to be grieved. Somebody you love, somebody you care about. Those are normal things. You go to the doctor, you get some bad news, huh? That's going to grieve you some. That's not Brother, a lot of people think that there's certain ways that they're talking or acting is spiritual. Come on. You can catch the thing and have a right attitude and a joy. But come on, your emotions at times are going to be depressed, or there's going to be... That's fine. It's normal. All right? You just don't let it rule you. You rule it. Brethren. There's an epidemic today of drug addiction that is coming from doctors and psychologists and psychiatrists. And it used to be that saints would get together and they'd say things like, "Brother, this verse helped me. This principle helped me. God," today it's like, "This pill helped me. Man, the doctor gave me this happy medicine." And it, yeah, but that's not how it ought to be. Not how it ought to be. The key is ruling your spirit. If you get angry and you have a righteous reason to be angry, you know, because the Bible says, Jesus said, "Whosoever is angry with his brother without cause." See, it's sinful and wrong to be angry when you don't have a cause. When there is a cause to be angry, there's nothing wrong with anger. Just handle it right. God gave you that ability. God gets angry. It's okay to get angry. Be angry for the right reason and handle it in the right way. But if you don't control your anger, if you don't rule your spirit, man, that anger will get you. Hadn't you ever had some time in your life where you got angry and you didn't control yourself? And so what happened was, it's like you're getting there right, and man, you break over that edge, bud. And it's like it gets to rolling like a snowball going downhill, and it picks up momentum. Have you ever got angry or something, and it's like something was feeding you thoughts? Oh yeah, I believe the powers of darkness start feeding things in your ear. Yeah. Remember 6 months ago when she said this? I remember when your husband. Remember a year ago he said this. Remember 5 years ago he did this. And man, just feeding that thing. Suppose you made the thing right, you forgave it, you're going on, but now you broke over, and boy, the enemy will just feed those thoughts, and it's like a snowball picking up momentum. You got to rule your spirit. That's why you teach your children, if they're mad and angry, okay, if they've got a right reason, that's fine. But you don't allow them to go to the room and beat their pillow. That's not ruling their spirit. They're still getting their aggression out. "Well, it's better than hitting the wall." I got one for you, brilliant, and I'm not trying to be a smart aleck right here. How about don't beat anything? "Well, beating a pillow, it's better than beating a wall." It's still not what it's supposed to be. You rule your spirit. And you know what? Learning to do that, they're going to get real frustrated. They're going to stand there, and they're going to be, you got to teach them, "Son, daughter, you got to get control of this. It's fine to be upset. You got a reason to be upset in this thing. You got to handle it right." And if they don't handle it right, you punish them for it. All right, so the kid beats the pillow. He'll beat his wife one day if he's allowed to. I'm going to tell you right now. It wasn't allowed. I was coming up. No. "Yes, sir. You learn to control yourself." Sign of a man. You know, one of the ways a sign of a man, you know, the one of the ways of a sign of a man versus a little boy? Little boy, and I'm just going to, I'll use the Bible word for it. I'm going to be really blunt with you, but a little boy goes and just pisses himself, right? He don't control himself. I have a diaper on. You know, when he starts becoming grown up, he controls his functions. You know, one of the ways, the marks of a mature young man, he controls his emotions. A sign of maturity. A sign of physical maturity is that you don't wet yourself, that you don't lose control of, that you learn to control yourself. We know that. That's, you know, "Hey, son, you know, you're growing up. Get your big boy drawers now." I mean, you know what I'm saying? You know, getting out of the, you know, he's becoming a young man. "Hey, man, you know, little girl." Well, listen, the way to become a mature, one of the marks of maturity of emotions is he controls himself and she controls herself. And just like you got to teach that child to control their bodily functions, you got to teach them also to control their emotions. That's part of parenting. And you're setting that child free. And you're blocking one of the ways the devil can take advantage of them. Not that you don't feel things. Yes, you feel things. Control them. Don't let them control you. Yes, you get upset. Control that thing. You get angry? Control it. Let's joy. You get joyful. That's fine. Joy's good. Well, happy, well, good. Control it. control it. Had you in your life sometime, come on, found yourself feeling good and bud, you overstepped the bounds. You said things and did things that made a fool out of you and you're like, you got to be kidding me. Do you understand that that's the big problem? That is the problem with alcohol and drugs. You hear it all the time. God made weed. What's wrong with weed? God made weed. I've said before, God made poison oak, smoke that. Just roll it up. Just smoke it. Well, you know the problem with drugs? And I'll tell you something, guys. Look here. I've seen the boys sign for this. You've gone, so they got it. I said, fellas, God wants you in control. God always wants you in control of your emotions, of yourself. The Bible says, he that hath no rule over his own spirit. I said, when you take substances that you're no longer in control, guess who's coming in control? The devil and the powers of darkness are going to get control. One of the ways to fend them off is you rule your spirit according to the Bible. And when you take substances like alcohol and drugs, you're not in control. You're not in control. And something else is coming in to take control. And so joy's good. I mean, you're sitting, like the happy drunk, right? What I mean by happy drunk is, you drunks, they either get a sloppy drunk, mean drunk. Because whatever emotions you're prone to, my uncle, when he was sober, when he was sober, couldn't find a nicer man. Do anything for you. You get him drinking, just mean. My daddy, praise the God, Lord of God, I never saw it, and he never talked about it. But I'd hear from some of my relatives. My daddy would just get tickled, right? My daddy would get laughing. He'd get laughing and get kind of, like that. And I'm like, you know what? You ever seen somebody that you know and you see him drinking and he's like, it don't feel right? Like, I don't know this person. I remember somebody told me one time, said their daddy would hug him, but said when he get to drinking, he'd give me a hug and it wasn't the same. It didn't feel right. It wasn't the same. And you get somebody, some people are prone to this. They just get tender. Our neighbor coming up. Bless his heart, man. Bless his heart. Man, Shorty would get to drinking, and he would come to the house. Y'all just the finest neighbors. Just y'all so good. And just watch the liquor talking. That's just that talking. We was rotten neighbors. No. But he would just, that's that liquor talking, and he'd just get all, like that and everything. And you know what? Then guess what happens? You ain't going to see him for about a week or two because they're embarrassed. What's happening? They're not in control. And God always wants you in control, ruling your spirit. You take, again, depression. There are things that depress you. That's fine. That's normal. You lose someone or something you love. Your house burns down. That's going to get you a little bit. You can have joy, but it's going to depress your spirits a little bit. I mean, come on. The key is you don't let it rule you. Y'all. Your will is always to take the lead and your emotion follows will. If emotion leads and will follows emotion, the devil will put his finger it'll be like a hog with a ring in its nose, and the devil will put his finger in that ring and he'll pull you. He'll just take, and he knows how, if I can get this person emotional, whether happy, whether sad, whether depressed, whether angry, I can just pull them all over the place. And he will. You're going to have emotions. God gave them to you. Don't let them rule you. You rule them. Will follows and emotion follows will, not the other way around. The Bible says if you don't rule your spirit, those walls are coming down. And the enemy's going to step right in. And ladies, since you're in the precarious position of being in a place where the devil uses you to get to the man, started with Eve and has been kept up ever since, you've got to be careful because you are more prone to fluctuations of the emotions than a man is. That's just the way it is overall. If there are exceptions, this is the exception. That's overall how it is, right? And you know what's going to happen? There's going to be certain times of your life, dear sisters, that you're going to be more prone to emotional upheaval than others. I told you, I preached this up in North Carolina one time, and the pastor's daughter came to me crying after the service. She's pregnant, about to pop any day. And she said, brother, she said, thank you. She said, I've been going through all kinds of mess in my emotions and I didn't know why or how to deal with it. I got it now. I got it. What was happening was, come on, man. She's out there about to have a young'un and she's hormonal. I mean, I know that gets thrown around a lot, but it's a truth. It's a truth, you know. And ladies, you're more subject to that. Well, I'm telling you what now, that's just a truth. I mean, you stay married long enough, your husband's going to tell where you're at every month quicker than you will. That's the truth. Ain't nothing bad or wrong about that. That's just the truth. He'll just be like, yep. And look here. And he'll lie but tell you, and you go, no. And you go, hey, you know what? You're right. Yeah. Because you know, and you know what? By your makeup, you're more susceptible to those things, and that makes you more prone emotionally. Pregnancy will do it. Let me tell you something. We've known some sisters in the Lord, and they said, this one sister, she said, after I had my baby, that postpartum depression stuff set in. She said, I didn't know how to deal with it. I gave in to my emotions, and it turned demonic. She said, the devil just really got hold of me and took me down a, you know. You got to learn what's going on. You got to learn the susceptibility and rule your spirit. Rule your spirit. You ever felt a certain way and somebody says, well, just get over it? Like, you would if you could. You can't help somebody. But what you can do is you can make a choice by your will to do what's right. You ever felt like, I don't want to get up? I'm depressed. I want to pull the sheets over my head. In fact, Lord, I ain't going to take my life, but if you did, I won't argue with you. Lord, I wouldn't mind going to sleep and never waking up. But I can't handle this. I can't see nothing good ahead. I can't see nothing. And you know, you got to get up. You got to go to work. You got to fix food. You got to put your car. You got to do whatever you got to do. What do? You get up. You put that foot in front of the other. You make that breakfast. You go to that job. You paint that house. You clean that. You do whatever you got to do. You do it. It's always better when you can feel like it or there's motivation. But when it ain't and everything seems dark and it seems like the heavens are about to crash down on you, what you can do is you can make a choice to live and finish out. And you've got to do that. You've got to rule your spirit, not let your spirit and emotions rule you. That's what the Bible says. Because if you don't, the walls come down and you get in a fix. Like I've said, brethren, and I'll say it, I'll stop, and I'll move on. It's that sine wave we talked about. There's AC and DC, right? Direct current and alternating current. Men are supposed to be, more direct current. Just kind of like, you know. And women are more AC. In fact, if you take that sine wave, you know, like that, right? That's AC. Man, if you was to put a 14 on the top of that thing and a 28 on the bottom of that thing, that'd be about it. I'm real serious. You know what? Daddies, talk to your boys. Let them understand that so their mind isn't blown. Many a man's got married and gone, I don't understand. I don't understand. Because 2 weeks ago, I said this or picked at her about it, and she thought it was the funniest thing and just the cutest thing. I said it today, and she got mad and busted out crying. You know, ring, ring, ring. Daddy? He didn't do that. But you know, a young man will say, I don't understand. Did I marry a basket case? Did I marry you? And say, no. It's just like, you know, but I'm serious. Listen, that cycle of that thing, 14, there's the top. Things bubbling and good. They're going down. You hit that 28, buddy, and it bottoms out. That's just factual. That's just the truth. All right? For the most part, it just is. And you know what? Young man needs to be aware of that thing. Know how to deal with it. And help his wife. Help his wife. Instead of going like, I don't know why she's crying about that thing. All I said was, I don't know why that's upsetting. So a young man's not to be like, you're crazy. Just no. He goes around, puts his arm around her and says, I love you. Don't understand. I don't understand, but I'm trying to. But I love you. And here I am. And seriously. And that'll help. Brethren, I say that because, listen, because there's not been training and guidance and direction in these things, we have generations getting into relationships and marriages, and they have no idea the kind of things that should be known, or even the principles of the Bible about ruling your spirit. So what happens is, instead of going, well, you know what? Because they think, well, the church can't handle this kind of thing. God's word don't handle this. Pastor knows that. I need to go to a psychologist. I need to go to a psychiatrist. I need to go to a doctor. Maybe he'll prescribe me something. Don't you do it. Pills are fine for physical problems. But for things of the emotion and the spirit, you need the things from the principles of the Word of God that will help you in those areas. And the problem is, it becomes a battle to get the freedom you need. And saints today are just think everything's supposed to be okay, and they're not ready for the battle. And other saints won't help them battle. We need to be there. Help folks with that kind of stuff. All right. I'm just telling you, brethren, I'm just telling you that, listen, the walls came down and they took the city. Settle in for the duration, like I've said before, it could be a while. Walls came down. There was no resistance. Brethren, walls come down. Another way the walls come down is when they get pounded and breaches open up. Well, they do. They would either fire cannon, not then, back then, or they would take a battering ram or something and just boom, boom, boom. And when they see a crack, okay, here we go. Boom, boom. And you get an opening and you widen it, or you send troops in. Listen, when that starts happening, you have to resist the enemy at the breach. You got to resist him where the opening's at, and then repair the breach. Stop him from coming in. And while you're fighting him off and drove him off, repair the breach. Make that, close up that opening. Listen, you know what the devil's going to do? He's going to pound you in some area of your life. Well, look, think about a city with its walls. There's all kind of ways you could pound, right? And think about your life. There's certain areas the devil can pound you on that maybe he couldn't pound nobody else there, but that's where you're vulnerable at. And he's going to pound you. And he's going to hit you. And he's going to pound you. And he's going to pound you. And he's going to pound you. And he's looking for an opening. What do you do? Resist him at the breach. When it opens up, listen, resist him. The Bible says, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. So what do you do when he flees? Repair the breach. Take the measures. Whatever helped that thing open up, close it. But before you can close the breach up, you've got to drive him off. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. And when he flees, now's the time to close up that opening. Find out what made it weak. Find out what made it vulnerable and do the repair work. Do the damage control. Take your Bible. Go to Nehemiah chapter 4. Nehemiah chapter 4. Nehemiah chapter 4. Verse 1. Nehemiah 4 verse 1. But it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, he was wroth and took great indignation and mocked the Jews. And he spake before his brethren in the army of Samaria and said, what do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stoned out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned? Now Tobiah the Ammonite was by him, and he said, even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall even break down their stone wall. They're mocking him, making fun of him. Those feeble Jews. They're nothing. What are they going to do? They can't do this. What are they going to build in one day? If a fox gets up on a wall, they break it down. Well, look what they did. Verse 4, hear, O our God, for we are despised. They didn't stand up and go, oh yeah! Well, let me tell you. And you're another one. They didn't do that. They didn't throw things back at him. They went to God. Don't let the enemy get you distracted. Did you know that constantly, every day, the enemy's trying to distract you? He is constantly trying to distract you. You know, he's constantly throwing bait out to you to get your mind. How many times have you noticed you fight during a day, something that grabs your mind and you find yourself concentrating on it, and he's pulling your energy, pulling your time, getting you upset, and he's got you. He's got you. He's got you. He's constantly trying to get you distracted. They didn't take it. They just went to God. Hear, O our God, for we are despised, and turn their reproach upon their own head, and give them for a prey in the land of captivity. And cover not their iniquity, and let not their sin be blotted out from before thee, for they have provoked thee to anger before the builders. So built we the wall. You know what they did? Instead of getting distracted and going, you know what, you bunch of uncircumcised, you know what they did? They just prayed to God and built the wall. Prayed to God and kept up with the task. Brethren, when things happen and things get thrown at you, listen, hadn't you ever in your mind felt like this is something is it's distracted you and you're feeling like you need to defend yourself, justify yourself, you need to take, and what's doing? It's getting you distracted. Give it to God and keep building. Give it to God and just keep working. Give it to God and just keep pressing at the task. That's what they did. Verse 6, so built we the wall. And all the wall was joined together under the half thereof. Why? For the people had a mind to work. When you've got a mind to work, stay at it. Verse 7, but it came to pass that when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabians and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were made up and that the breaches began to be stopped, then they were very wroth. What does that mean, the breaches were stopped? The holes were plugged, buddy. The holes were getting plugged. Those places that made them vulnerable were getting plugged up. And you know what it made the enemy do? It made them wroth, made them mad. Let me tell you something. When you start plugging up the holes in your life, when you start plugging up those ways that was always easy for the enemy to get in, when those holes start getting plugged, he's going to get upset. But that's good, because you're doing the right thing. Look at this. Verse 8, and conspired all of them together to come and to fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto our God and set a watch against them day and night because of them. They prayed and watched, prayed and watched, prayed and watched. Come on, y'all. How much time reading your Bible do you not see the word watch, watch, watch and pray, watch and pray, watch. Man, watch. They prayed and watched, prayed and watched. You know what you do? Pray. Give the thing to God and then watch. Just stand and watch. And when you see something that you know is the enemy making a move, resist him. Verse 10, and Judah said, the strength of the bearers of burden is decayed, and there is much rubbish, so that we are not able to build the wall. Real quick, I want you to notice that. You're going to find discouragement from those you should find encouragement from. What happened was, look, Judah said, look what he said there. The strength of the bearers of burden is decayed, and there's much rubbish. In other words, we can't do it. We're tired. Nobody's going to help. Nobody's going to do anything. And there's just too much junk, too much rubbish. If you listen to the negativity, you'll end up just giving up. Listen, they said, the strength of the bearers of burden is decayed. You'll hear things like, well, what's the matter? Nobody's going to help. Nobody cares. Well, you care then. You do right. Brethren, if God calls you to something, remember he may not call everybody else to. So don't worry. If you don't, you know, I feel like the Lord would have me go out and, well, great, go do it. But don't you go and get on other brethren and try to browbeat them into doing it or getting on them because they ain't. No, sir. You run your race. Amen. Don't you get on folks about that. Listen, and if people, they say, well, what's the use? You know, nobody cares. Okay, fine. Then don't worry about it. But you care and you do right. You care and you do right and do what God will have you to do. And so I said, well, there's just too much rubbish. There's too much junk. And yeah, there sure is. Keep going. Man, I know they used to get on me when I was a young'un. If you had a big task in front of you, there's just too much. Well, I'd hear stuff like this. Well, if you'd shut up and get to work, you'd find that bit by bit it's getting taken care of. I learned that. Because, man, one thing I want to do was stand around with a bunch of under my age and have, because I'd... and get chewed out. And I mean chewed out. Because, and I won't put it like they would put it tonight, but I mean it's like basically, you know, get your hands out your pocket, boy, and get to work. That pile will get reduced if you'll start working at it one by one, bit by bit. You get a whooping. You stood there at a daunting task and went, okay, boy, you get a whooping. Or worse, you get sent to the house. I remember my cousin one time, we was working, getting up some hay. And it was my uncle and his grandpa. Man, he lit into him and sent him back to the house. And I thought, I don't want that happening to me. I'd rather him threw me down and whooped a fire to me than have to go back to the house whooped. I mean, embarrassed like that because, you know, I wouldn't do like I was supposed to do. It'd be embarrassing. What do you do? What do you do? I tell you what you do. You stay on it. You stay on it. Yes, there will be much rubbish sometimes. Stay on it. though the task may be daunting, apply yourself and stick with it. Take your Bible. Let's go back just a minute to 2 Kings 25. 2 Kings 25. Say this, a city gets broken down, brethren, when troops get inside by climbing the walls or getting in by trickery and treachery. Trickery and treachery. Go to Nehemiah chapter 4 one more time. Nehemiah chapter 4. Nehemiah chapter 4. Nehemiah chapter 4. Look at verse 11 real quick. And our adversary said, they shall not know, neither see, till we come in the midst among them and slay them and cause the work to cease. So they said, you know what we're going to do? We're going to sneak in. And verse 12, and it came to pass that when the Jews which dwelt by them came, they said unto us 10 times, from all places whence ye shall return unto us, they will be upon you. Therefore set I in the lower places behind the wall, and on the higher places I even set the people after their families with their swords, their spears, and their bows. And I looked and rose up and said unto the nobles, unto the rulers, unto the rest of the people, be not ye afraid of them. Remember the Lord, and which is great and terrible, and fight for your brethren, your sons, and your daughters, your wives, and your houses. And it came to pass, when our enemies heard that it was known unto us, and God had brought their counsel to naught, then we returned, all of us, to the wall, everyone unto his work. What happened? They got warning. 10 times they got warning that, you know what? Look, as Jews are coming back, as our brethren are coming back, in the midst of them are going to be some of the enemies trying to sneak in. The enemy's going to try to sneak in with some of them. So they watched. They got warning 10 times and they did something about it. They stayed vigilant on guard. Brethren, listen. God will send you and I warning. He'll give you and I heads up about things, but we need to heed it. Young folks, in your relationships, as you seek, Lord willing, a spouse, a mate, God will give you heads up, but you better heed it. I had a fella this week from upper part of the state. He got in touch with me and said there's a young girl that he met and he's kind of interested. And he said, but, and he, little something that took place. And I told him, I said, Bud, tell you what. I said, look, I got to be careful. I got to tread carefully here. I said, because I don't know the girl that you're kind of interested in. And I said, I got to be careful and I'm going to be careful. I said, but I will tell you this. I've done seen enough through the years to know this. You better take a look at what you just told me and weigh it out. Because that may indicate something. And be careful about glossing the thing over. May just be an isolated incident. That's fine. That's just so, but you better make sure. I said, all I tell you to do is this. Don't pretend something is what it ain't. Don't pretend that it is what it ain't. Ask God. If God's trying to help open your eyes to something, you better listen. Brethren, we're not talking about flawless perfection. You ain't going to marry nobody that's flawless because you ain't flawless. But there should be, if there's some things that start slipping through the cracks that you see, then grab hold of it. And that's in so many things. The Lord let them know 10 times. And so they heeded it. They took heed. Real quick, go to Joshua 9. Joshua 9. Joshua chapter 9. Joshua chapter 9. At verse number 1. And it came to pass when all the kings which were on this side Jordan, and the hills and the valleys, and all the coast of the great sea over against Lebanon, the Hittite and the Amorite, the Canaanite, the Perizzite, the Hivite, and the Jebusite heard thereof, that they gathered themselves together to fight with Joshua and with Israel with one accord. And when the inhabitants of Gibeon heard what Joshua had done unto Jericho and to Ai, they did work wildly, and went and made as if they had been ambassadors, and took old sacks upon their asses, and wine bottles old and rent and bound up, and old shoes and clouded upon their feet, and old garments upon them, and all the bread of their provision was dry and moldy. And they went to Joshua unto the camp at Gilgal, and said unto him, unto the men of Israel, we be come from a far country, now therefore make ye a league with us. And the men of Israel said unto the Hivites, peradventure ye dwell among us, and how shall we make a league with you? And they said unto Joshua, we are thy servants. And Joshua said unto them, who are ye, and from whence come ye? And they said unto him, from a very far country thy servants are come because of the name of the Lord thy God, for we have heard the fame of him and all that he did to Egypt, and all that he did to the two kings of the Amorites that were beyond Jordan, to Sihon, king of Heshbon, and to Og, king of Bashan, which was at Ashtaroth. Wherefore our elders and all the inhabitants of our country spake to us, saying, take victuals with you for the journey, and go to meet them, and say unto them, we are your servants, therefore now make ye a league with us. This our bread we took hot for our provision out of our houses on the day we came forth to go unto you. But now behold, it is dry and is moldy. And these bottles of wine which we filled were new, and behold, they be rent. And these our garments and our shoes are become old by reason of the very long journey. And the men took of their victuals, and asked not counsel at the mouth of the Lord. And Joshua made peace with them and made a league with them to let them live, and the princes of the congregation swear unto them. And they got in. How'd they do it? By trickery. By pretending they were something they weren't. Brethren, listen. How can the enemy, how can the powers of darkness, how can the devil and the powers of darkness get inroads into the believer when the one thing the true believer does not want is the devil having any influence in his life? I don't, listen, they and a person in this room are listening to this on recording that loves Jesus Christ, that would roll out the red carpet and say, devil, come on in and get a foothold in my life. They and a person that loves Jesus that would do that. So how does he get in? How does he get control? By pretending to be something he's not. By getting the believer to think he's hearing the voice and leading of God when it ain't God. And you're a fool if you think it can't happen to you. It happened to the children of Israel with the Gibeonites. They thought they were something they weren't. Listen. But I love God. Great. But your love does not mean the devil can't deceive you and get you to thinking something is the will of God when it ain't. So what are you talking about? It's not love that's a defense against that. It's knowledge. What did the Lord say? My people are destroyed for lack of what? Not love. Not devotion. Lack of knowledge. Did Peter love Jesus? You better believe Peter loved Jesus. You better believe he did. When Jesus said, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? What did Peter say? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. What did Jesus say to Peter? Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona. Flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Wow. Look what Peter got. Man, Peter got the star of the day, man. He got the star by his name. I mean, he said, Peter, blessed art thou. Peter, flesh and blood didn't tell you that my Father's revealed that. You know exactly who I am. Wow, it's a blessing. I mean, it ain't a couple of verses later. Jesus is telling him he's going to go to the cross. And Peter pulls him aside and says, not so, Lord. This shall not be unto thee. And buddy, Jesus fixed his gaze on Peter and said, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me. For thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. That quick. That quick, Peter went from divine revelation to satanic deception. And what did the devil use? Peter's love. Brethren, listen. The devil knows how to use even good things against you if you're not careful and don't take the whole armor of God upon you. Do you understand? Listen, Joshua and the men of Israel, they loved the Lord. But you know what? They let their guard down. Their shoes look old. Their wine bottles are rent. Their clothes are, and they said we're from a far country. They didn't pray about it. They didn't get guidance from God. It just seemed obvious. And the enemy got in. And there's nothing that can be done because they made an oath to them. And now they're in. They just got to deal with it now. And listen. You love the Lord? Praise God, you ought to. That has to do with salvation and knowing the Lord. But as far as deception, love of the Lord is not antidote against deception. It's knowledge and the whole armor of God and watching and doing what God said. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Taking you the whole armor of God. You've got to what? Peter loved the Lord. And Peter could get divine revelation. Peter, my father's revealed this to you. And I mean, it ain't two verses, 33 verses later. Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me. Thou savest not the things of God, but those that be of men. That quick. Listen, there's many a person that loves their children. But they love their children. But they're not obeying God and how to raise them. And they're hurting them in the long run. Brethren, you know what? Let me tell you something. Look here. You think there ain't been many a person that has not taken the rod of correction of their child because they feel like, but I love them. You have an emotional love. If you have a true deep love, you'll take that rod to them because you love them and you want to help them. I'm telling you, I went down the road again the other day. I did. About to cry again. I was just thinking back to my young ones when I was little and the times I had to whoop them when I had to. And it broke my heart. It broke my heart to have to do it. I never enjoyed that. But I had to. And I don't mean tap, tap, tap. I mean back there where they felt it and they knew it, but it killed me. It killed me. It hurts me to this day. I hate I had to do it, but I had to because I love them with not just a love of emotion, but with a true love. And I ain't talking about angry, just flailing. And I'm talking about in control, correcting them. That's the difference. But y'all listen. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Be careful. The enemy's trying to get in. And if we think just because I love the Lord, I can't be deceived, the devil can use the very love you have. That's what he did with Peter. What do you do? Watch. Pray. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good and take upon you the whole armor of God. This is not a cakewalk. This is real business. This thing's real. You, as a child of God, you are in the most important and the fiercest battle there is in the universe. You can't see it, but it's just as real as can be. And brethren, if we're to keep from being deceived and the enemy getting inroads in our personal life, in our families, in our homes, our churches, we've got to stay on watch and we've got to appropriate the whole armor of God. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for this morning. Thank you for these principles. Oh, Father, help us, Lord, not just to know them. Father, what a fool I am, dear God, if I know these things are right. Father, I know these principles are right. But, Father, if all I do is know them but don't apply them, I'm deceiving myself. Help us, Lord, everyone, to lay hold on these principles and understand and know how to apply them in our lives. And this we ask in the Lord Jesus' name and please for his sake. Amen.